Mad Men, the favor for the cleansing of the blood. He had tons of heart and life over to him. And you're not going to fly away when he comes back. You're going to be left behind. And I hope and pray that if you don't know him tonight, that you'll make him your savior before he leaves here tonight. Just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away to a land where joy shall never end. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by,
Brother Johnny's going to come sing a song for you now. No, you're going to say, like I say when Brother Johnny's in the house, preach! Hey, man, you know what? I think he knows all about that word. You know, I mean, he's one of my favorite, if not my favorite preacher in the whole wide world. I'm going to tell you something. I was sick, and I needed somebody to pray for me. You know, at 1 o'clock at night, I mean, I got so sick at... If I told my wife, if I've had a pistol in the house, I'd have gone on to heaven. I'm telling you. Some of you might know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
You get to a point where your mind plays tricks on you. You know, and you don't understand how you're going to make it another minute.
Yes.
You're talking about I'll make it another day. No, I can't even make it another minute. I'd be shaking so bad I couldn't even dial the phone. I'd dial Brother Johnny's number. One time I called him at 2:30 in the morning. He said, what can I do for you, son? This is what he said. First thing he said, as soon as he answered the phone, hey, hello, why you bothering me? Call me back tomorrow. No, as soon as he answered the phone, what can I do for you, son? I need you to pray for me. You know what? You know why? Because I knew he could get in touch with heaven. I just praise God for that. You know, that's why I enjoy Brother Johnny being here, because I know he can get in touch with heaven, and then he's going to bring that message and share it with us. Whew. I'm telling you, heavenly bread. A lot better than that cornbread. Well, I'm telling you, cornbread come out of granny's oven, boy. I'm telling you, I want to jump it right on the spot. But I'm telling you, that man that come from heaven, the man of God brings it. Beat that cornbread all day long. Brother Johnny, come feed us tonight. Let's give the Lord a big hand, Brother Johnny.
Well, it's a real joy and honor to be back at God's house tonight. Glad to see old friends and new friends and people, visitors that's come here tonight. We want to thank you so much for being here and pray that God will do something special for us. Got it on, brother? Okay. And so I want to thank you so much for that. Last night we were sitting in a restaurant. We were sitting in a restaurant after services last night. We went out to eat. And I wasn't going to say that, what Brother Ray just said just now. But what he was talking about being in so much pain that sometimes you just feel like blowing your brains out. When you get to the place that you don't know how much more than you can take, you're just ready to check out and to go home. Just ready to go home and to get out of this place. Now, all of us has got a home somewhere. And the Canastas was talking about, boy, I was so glad to hear them songs that they were singing about being homesick, unseen treasures, and all the songs about going home. And a lot, when you're young, you don't think too much about that. But can I tell you something? When you start getting a little bit older and pain starts in your body, I can promise you, because God, according to Romans chapter 8, God's got a pain machine. And when God puts you in that pain machine, you better believe, my friend, that you will be ready to go home. When I was a young boy, I lived in the ghetto and I lived up on top of a big old apartment complex. And we used to have them homing pigeons. And we'd take them homing pigeons and we'd turn them things loose and how that they'd circle and they'd go for miles. But they'd always come back home. And even an elephant, when it gets ready to die, there's something that comes on that elephant that he knows that he starts looking for a burial ground. He starts heading back to where he came from. And so tonight, and I want to thank the Canastas too, they give me this nice little track here. The name of the track is Not Growing Old. And I want to thank you so much for the track and the card that they give me here tonight. For sake of time, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to turn to the book of Ecclesiastes before we do one other thing. Turn to the book of Ecclesiastes, then we're going to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians, 1st and Ecclesiastes, chapter number 12. The reason I want to give this for the young people here, that I hope that you will, might be able to understand a little bit what Solomon is talking about here, about how that your body is going to wear out. How that your body is just going to completely get to the place. Right now you might be in the best physical condition that you've ever been in your life. But I'm telling you, there's a fear and a pain can come on you that'll make you long for home. Is that right? There's something about you start out as a young man, you're young and you're full of vim and vigor and you're ready to go. And then pretty soon you look at yourself and you're falling apart. Now, I had several folks I wanted to do this with tonight, but we didn't get time to get all the pictures in and things like this. But I got some pictures here of somebody every one of y'all know here, and one of my favorite couples that's here in the church tonight. And the song, I dedicate this song to you that's going to be sung. But as we get ready to show this projector, I want to see if you know who this might be on this wall as a young person. Who'd you think that might be right there? Roy Gross. Roy and Sister Leafy Gross as a young person. Start the music, brother. I appreciate it. Here we are as a young person. Never, never, ever thinking that one day that we're going to be older. Is that right? Got him, girl? Okay. The name of this song is Time Has Made a Change in Me. Please listen to it.
Time has made a change in my childhood days.
Yes.
Many of my friends have gone away. Some I never more in this life shall see. Time has made a change in me.
Has time made a change in you? Sure, time made a change in you.
In the old home place, time has made a change in each smiling face, and I know my friends can plainly see that time has made a change in. Childhood days.
You remember that days?
I was well.
You remember?
And strong.
He was well and just as strong.
I could climb the hillside
all day
long. But I am not today what I used to be. For time has made a change. Change in the old home. spend time won't make a change in me.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Brother Jambo. Thank you, Brother Ron. Has time made a change in you? You remember when you was young, run up and down the hills, full of vim, vigor, plenty of strength? And now we get to the place that we're getting older. It seemed like we spend the first 30 years of our life doing a pretty good job messing up our life. Then we spend the next 30 years trying to make amends for the heartaches and the mess that we've made of our life. I read a thing here a while back about the older that you get, and here's what it says. It said, when you start getting older, everything hurts, and what doesn't hurt don't work no more. You feel like the night before, and you haven't been anywhere. Your mind makes promises that your body can't keep, and you know the answer, but you done forgot the question. You sit in a rocking chair, and you can't get it going. Your back goes out more than you do. The best part of your day now is when the alarm clock goes off. You get up, you exercise, and you get up, your exercise acting as pallbearers for your friends. And that's just about the way that it seems that's the way that we do. But I want to show you something in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1, and then we'll turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1, young people, I sure hope you remember this. That Bible said in verse 1 there, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. You better remember Him while you're young, while the days come not, nor the days draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house, the keepers is your hands before they get to the place that they get Parkinson's and they go to trembling how that your arms are, that your arms will be strong, and the strong man shall bear them of themselves, and the grinder cease, that's your teeth, because they're few. And they that look out of the windows, your eyes are going to get bad. In verse 4, and the door shall be shut, and the sound of the grinding, you hear it'll go out. And you shall rise at the voice of a bird, sleeping on an hour and a half, 2 hours sleep a night. And all the daughters of music shall be brought low. And when they shall be afraid of that which is high, fears that you used to never have, but all of a sudden in your life, fears will start coming in the way. And the almond tree, your hair starts turning white, and the flesh as the grasshopper shall be a burden, and the desire shall be gone. And here it is. Because man desireth to go to his long home. Man just outright wants to go home. He wants to get out of this place. He wants to go. I want you to turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 real quick, please. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. As we read this text here, I want you to read it like as if you're on vacation. You're away from home. And Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1 says, he said, for we know that if our earthly house, that's his body that you live in this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan. In other words, we're in pain. We groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with the house which is from heaven. If so, being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we are in this tabernacle, in this old body. We do groan, having pain. That's what it's talking about. Being burdened. Not that we should be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up into life. Now he that hath wrought us, hath wrought the selfsame, is God who given us unto us earnest of the Spirit. Wherefore we always confident, knowing that while we're at home in this body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, and I say, willing rather to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. There used to be an old song that Stuart Hammond had out about how, about this home, about our home, this old house. And this old house is a song that Stuart Hammond wrote years ago. And this body that we live in is nothing but a house that God lives in. But can I tell you something? Whenever you get sick and whenever you get to a certain age, all you want to do is long to go home. Me and Brother Ghost went out for breakfast this morning, and we was talking about Billy Muse, and we was talking about other people that had done slipped out and done went home. There's a yearning in the child of God after your body. You say, Brother John, I don't want to go home. Can I tell you something? You let a little pain hit your body like that, I'll guarantee you one thing, my friend. You will be ready to go home. Is that right? 5 million people in the nursing homes today, and many of them you and I visited. You know what they say? Please pray that God will take me. I'm ready to go home. I'm in such pain and agony, Brother Johnny. And can I tell you something? You don't know tonight, you're sitting here, what condition you will be in the next 6 months. Did you know that Isaac died as a blind man? Did you know Ezekiel's wife had a stroke? Did you know in 6 months you could be in a nursing home here as a young man yourself and be a blubbering idiot? Is that right? You don't never know what's going to happen. But what can I tell you, when tragedies come, what do you want to do? You want to go home. Is that right? Dr. Charles Weigel, that was over at Tennessee Temple, he was up here in the hospital here, and the pastor was up there visiting there, and when he was, and he kept saying, oh, I just want to go home, Dr. Robinson, I want to go home. And the nurse said, Dr. Robinson, tell him he can't go home. And Dr. Robinson said, he's not talking about back going to school, he's talking about his home up yonder. Yeah. Is that right? And that's the way that we are. You get your body in a pain and racked with pain, I'll tell you, you'll want to go to the house. Is that right? You never know how your body's going to be when you get ready to leave here. So I begin to think about some things that'll make you want to go home. Some things that'll make you want to go home. Number one is when you wear your welcome out. When you wear your welcome out. Now, I stay in a lot of homes. And when you get to a place that you don't feel welcome, you're ready to go to the house. Is that right? And when you get to the place that you're not worn your welcome out, you're ready to go be with the Lord. Is that right? It's like this. We all know we're going to a home somewhere. Is that right? We all got a home. When my children and my grandchildren come to see me, and I'm so glad to see them, and pretty soon after a few days, Brother Steve, they say, Daddy, we got to be going home. You know what I do? I walk out to the car with them. I'm hugging them. I'm holding them by the neck. And we're just a weeping and a crying. But you know what it is? It's not that they don't want to be with me, but now they got their own home. Is that right? Now, there's some people that don't take long to wear their welcome out. You ready for them to go? Is that right? Is that right? Huh? Is that true? But I'll tell you the truth. After you don't live long enough on this earth holds no more attraction to you, and you're ready to go to the house. Is that right? So number one thing is, the first thing I know that you'll be ready to go home is when you wear your welcome out. I'll never forget, four out of a big green died. He was laying in the hospital. I went to visit him 2 weeks before he died. And they had him on that little old cot. They carried him to the hospital there that night.
And he asked for his Bible. And he was in such pain there, and they gave him his Bible. And he took his pencil, and he marked a verse in that Bible there. And he died. And you know what that Bible said? What he marked in that Bible there? Weeping endured for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. Is that right? And that's what happened, brother, when you done war, you walk them out. And the nursing home is full of people that their kids had walked off and left them. Nobody don't give a rip about them. And they say, Brother Johnny, I'm ready to go home.
Is that right? That's the way you feel. You done war, you're welcome out. Number two thing that I like about that. When you go to missing home. When you outright go to missing home. I go a lot of places all over this country. But can I tell you something? There ain't no home like my home. I've stayed in some of the finest homes that you can stay. I've stayed in Jabbo's house. I mean, that's highfalutin there, buddy. That's high rolling house. But can I tell you something? There ain't nothing no better than to go to your own place. Is that right? No place. You can stay at the Biltmore. You can stay at the fanciest hotel in the world. But there's no home like your home. Is that right? When you know, boy, when you just go to missing home. And sometimes me and my wife will take our camper out. We'll take our camper out. We'll be out camped out somewhere. And we done seen all the sights. We done seen all the stuff you're supposed to see. And I'll be sitting out there in a folding chair. She said, Johnny. I said, yeah. She said, I just feel like going home. I said, you know I do too. I done seen it all. This world has no more attraction to me. There's nothing else for me to see. I am ready to go home. Is that right? Is that true? I'll tell you the truth. You get your body racked up with that pain. I'll guarantee you, and this world lets you down, and God uses all them pressures, it'll make you so homesick. Is that right? And so all of a sudden you want to go home. Another thing that'll make you want to go home is when you know somebody's waiting on you. When you know somebody's waiting on you. I'm glad to know that I got a Lord waiting on me up in glory world. Ah! Is that right? But tonight, 1909 South Cannon Boulevard down in Sheffield, Tennessee, I got a wife waiting on me right now. It's good to be here with y'all, but it's going to be good to get home. Is that right? There's something just about when you know you got somebody waiting on you. Here, 6 months or so, I was gone to a meeting. I was up in Charleston, West Virginia. I'd been gone for a couple of weeks. And the grandkids were staying over the house. And I got home there that night, late that night. And I drove up in the carport there. And on the end of the carport, those kids had put a big sign across the end of the carport. Welcome home, Papa. Out there up under that carport. I tell you, I had a spell out there in the yard. Amen. That's what God will do for you when you know somebody is waiting for you at home. Is that right? Last point, we're going home. I'll tell you another reason when you want to go home. And when you've done all this earth, all you can do. You done raised your children. You done preached until you wore out. You done got to the place. You've done everything you can to serve the Lord. You've done everything you can. And now you've done all that you can do. You know what you want to do? Say, Lord, I feel it's over with. I want to come home now. I want to come home and to be with you. I'll never forget that old John P. Jasper, that black slave. He got saved. He got saved there one night at an old-time camp meeting. Got saved in a camp meeting. He went back down to the sawmill the next day. And he was a witness to all them people. He was a witness to all them people down at the sawmill there. And all of a sudden, the sawmill began to slow down. They cut the lumber. And Mr. Hargrave, the slave owner, the plantation owner, raised the window, heard that saw stop. He said, because John was the boss. He said, John, what's going on down there? And before John could say anything, one of the old black girls hollered at him and said, Master Hargrave! John P. Jasper's done said that King Jesus come into his life and saved him last night. He said, John, get that saw going, and you get up here right now. Oh, John got that saw going, got them workers back, and he went up there to Mr. Hargrave's office. He said, John, sit in that chair over there. He said, John, tell me, what was she talking about there a while ago? He said, yes, I'll tell you, boss man. He said, last night I went to a tent revival last night, and King Jesus just convicted me and saved me there last night, and I got born again. He said, John, do you really believe that? He said, I sure do, Mr. Hargrave. He said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do with you. If you really believe that, what you say you did, I'm going to let you off for 6 months' pay. And I want you to go all over this country and tell people what King Jesus done in your life. Amen. And I got the autobiography right when he got ready to die. He said when he got ready to die, he was writing the last story of his life. He said this. He said, I knows when I get to heaven, I'm going to have angel trouble. He said, them angels going to look at me and say, John, what's a black guy like you trying to do to get in here? He said, I'm going to have to tell him King Jesus. King Jesus done washed me white as snow. That's what God can do. When your welcome's wore out. When you know somebody's waiting on you. When your work is done. Talking about that, I preached in a black church some time back, and there was a whole bunch in there. And I got in there, and this woman, she's going to give a testimony. She said, here's her testimony. Here's what she said, preacher. She stood up. She said, I want y'all to know my face is black. My hands is black. My feet is black. But I got a white heart. That's what God can do, old sinner. And it just makes you want to go home. You let your body go to aching and painting. And you'll say to yourself, time has made a change in me. Let's bow our heads to one place. I promise you, every night we let these kids go home. You're here tonight. You say, Brother Johnny, I don't have a home. Oh, yes, you do. It's either heaven or it's hell. It's one place or the other. You do have a home somewhere. But you say, Brother Johnny, tonight as I sit here tonight, I do know that I've got a heavenly home. I do know that my name is recorded up there. I do know, Brother Johnny, that if I should die on the way home, or like you talk about, could have an aneurysm of the brain, or have something massive happen to me, or wind up like Brother Ken, and all of a sudden a tragic accident, and wind up with years of pain and suffering. You say, Brother Johnny, that can't happen to me. Yes, it can. Yes, it can happen to you. You say, Brother Johnny, as I'm here tonight, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I'm born again. That I'm washed in the blood. Pray for me, Brother Johnny. Every child of God, will you switch it from my uplifted hand? Say, Brother Johnny, I know that I'm saved. I know that I'm saved. Isn't that good? You can put them down now. Now, there were some hands that couldn't go up. I want you to know that God wants you to come to this altar tonight and repent and trust Him and to be born in the family of God. You say, Brother Johnny, I got to have some help. I'm unsaved. I've never been born again. But Brother Johnny, I got to have that peace in my life. I've tried to work it out my own way. I've done everything I can. And my life just keeps getting worse. Pray for me, Brother Johnny. Would there be one? Would there be one? Say, pray for me, Brother Johnny. God bless you. Would there be another? Would there be another? Pray for me, Brother Johnny. Would there be one? All right, you're here tonight. You're saved. You're born again. And you just feel like, Brother John, I'm just about ready to quit. We're too near home to quit. I was so glad for Sister Canassa's testimony when she said she made up her mind years ago, no matter if she was sick, what pain she was in, or what it might be, that she was going to still continue on to serve the Lord. And that's the kind of determination that we got to have. We got to have that. You say, Brother Johnny, tonight I need to come to this old-time altar and let's pray together. Any way we can help you, we'll be so glad to help you. Whatever your need may be, salvation, well, just to pray, whatever it may be. God bless you. Let's stand, please. Let's stand. Okay, brother. Amen, brother. Yes. Somebody else. Come on. Listen to that song. Come on. You remember that? You remember that? Yes. Father's arms reach above me. Yes. Yes. What about that boy? Jabba? Yes. Yes. Come on. Going home. Yes. Yes. Going home. Are you ready? Ain't you sick of this wall? Ain't you sick of it? Come on. I got a glimpse. Sure. Yes. Amen. Sing on, brother. Yes.